Welcome to the Consumers. My name is Greg Warren. I'm your host. I'm also joined by Sean O'Brien.
Hi, Gregory.
Good to see you.
Really good to see you, buddy.
Yeah. Tim Convey's here, too.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Randy Cash is over there in the corner.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing? Thanks.
Good, buddy. Thanks. Good. We got a lot to get to today, but before we get into anything, I want to remind folks, this Sunday, November 30th, we are doing our first Consumers Live episode.
So yep.
It's at the St. Louis Funny Bone. I know that we have listeners all over the world, so most of you are not going to make it to St. Louis. If you're close, or if you want to, you know, just come in for the weekend.
Holiday weekend?
Yeah.
Sunday night? Shutting it down?
Yeah, I'm thinking road trip.
If you got something, you know, if you are coming from out of town and you need some advice on, you know, St. Louis, reach out. Sean, what's that email?
TheConsumers390@gmail.com.
TheConsumers390@gmail.com. We'll try to, you know, tell you whatever you need to know.
Some of the easier questions we'd like to answer about the event that have already come in quite a bit. We'll just knock this one out. Yeah. Yes, 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 Randy will be there.
Oh, yeah, Randy will be there. Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, people were worried.
Randy's running the tech. Mm-hmm. We have people coming down from Nateland. Adrian and Tristan are coming up from Nateland. Sorry, they're coming up from Nateland.
Down from corporate, up from Nateland.
There you go. That's a Bates callback. They're coming up to help us out. And, already got some tickets sold. Seems like people are into it.
Yeah. Get on it.
Some exciting giveaways, Cheesecake Factory gift cards, Cheesecake Factory tote bags, some product from Gillette. What else do we have? We have some Jif stuff, of course.
I mean, there's Jif stuff in here. Maybe some of the parts of the set we'll be giving away. For all I know, it's going to get
maybe some out of control. Maybe some local dairy products.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're looking at that. We got a phone call today about that.
Yeah.
I will also be giving away a 5-milliliter bottle of Creed.
What? Huge.
Now, keep in mind, 5-milliliter. I'm not good. That's not. You know, that'll get you about maybe 30 sprays, but
a couple grand.
Yeah, that's probably $2,000 right there. Can you guarantee it's not a bad batch?
In my opinion, this is a good batch. This is 21T01A.
Okay.
No kidding.
This is new news.
I heard they crushed that.
I was surprised.
One.
So I got it all set up. So this is, I mean, you know,
we got to figure out how to give all this stuff away. We're tossing around the brand. You guys can. You can comment. I lean heavy right now towards Entenmann's.
Yeah.
I think that the snack cake run was
legendary.
It was legendary.
Yeah, it was intense.
People still talking about it.
Big part of what we do.
Yeah.
I was talking with Tim McKernan this morning on his radio show. He was a big part of that Hostess episode.
Yeah.
And it just made me think maybe that thing really rung true with our listeners, viewers, and maybe we just close it out with, and also if we have Entenmann's as a snack cake, we're going to give you guys some Entenmann's, and maybe we got to go get the winner from the last round and put it up against the best Entenmann's.
Whoa. So stakes are high at this thing is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what the winner, I guess, was the Tasty Cake Crimpet, right? That means I gotta chase down another truck.
Yeah.
And you don't have the guy's number?
I don't have his number, man.
But you had a guy.
I hang out at that old folks.
And I hang out there. Camp out
hanging there, out man. There anyways, but I got now I have to hang out there.
But that'll be huge. First time we've done a live one. We have a few more on the books that'll all be great, but this is our first time doing it and at our home club, too, the St. Louis Funny Bone. So
St. Louis Funny Bone.
If you can make it, absolutely make it. It's an earlier show on a Sunday night. What is it?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.?
Yeah.
Not bad at all. But yeah, I'm very excited to do this with an audience.
I think it's going to be great.
I think so, too.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm pumped.
You know, I'm not saying it's going to go perfectly smooth.
No,
yeah, I mean, you could see some dents, more for me. You know, I might fumble a little bit.
We will leave angry with each other, is my prediction.
You think so?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to say that.
Well, that's what I'm braced for.
Sounds like
you think you'll be angry with me, Greg, or both, Tim?
A little bit of both, probably.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys will be disappointed in me as well.
Actually, me and Sean, we got no problem with you.
I'm just putting it out there right now. Randy, what do you think? Do you think we're hugging each other at the end of the night? What do you think?
Well, everybody's, for the most part, always happy with me, so that's what's most important in Randy Cash's world.
It's not an answer, Randy. It's not an answer.
Nobody's going to be mad at Randy.
I think you'll be fine.
We opened with that. So get tickets. StLouisFunnyBone.com, probably the easiest place to do it. And then all our socials, it'll be on there. Make sure you're following everybody on everything. We didn't start with the fashion report like we normally do, but how about Sean and I both doing flannels today?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Don't see that
often. That wasn't even planned.
Pretty similar, too.
Yeah, they are.
And then you got, I guess you got yourself a hat up there in New York City.
Saturday Night Live hat. Yep. It's corduroy, guys.
It sure is, man.
Only corduroy hat I own.
Yeah. What it looks like an FFA jacket.
What does that mean? Future farmers
in America all wear corduroy jackets.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I wonder if that's where SNL got it.
Probably not.
Not
a big intersection between
can't imagine that there is.
Company and the Future Farmers of America.
Yeah.
What, do they have an SNL merch shop?
There's a whole like NBC store over at Rockefeller Center. So you got a little SNL section and then all the other shows. I got my wife a coffee mug from the show Suits that she likes.
Oh, yeah, man.
Quite a bit. So there's a inspirational quote from Harvey Specter, the lead.
Sure. Gabriel Mock.
Yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic. But yeah, and then lots of, you know, everything from Friends to The Office to all their other late night shows. It's a cool, little shop, all that. Yeah.
They got some Wings merchandise in there?
That's a good question. I didn't see any Wings stuff. I'll bet there's, in the online store, there's Wings stuff for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Love Wings.
Yeah.
So underrated.
Yeah, I'd like to get a Faye t-shirt or something like that. Yeah.
Antonio, was that Shalhoub's name?
Shalhoub was Antonio, I believe.
He was great. Wings was so good, man.
Lowell was the...
Thomas Hayden Church?
Yeah, the guy with three names.
Crystal Bernard was in it?
Oh, yeah, she was great. Yeah.
And she's a... What's her... no one's going to know it.
Steven Weber. Is that his name, Steven Weber?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hung out with Henry at Sarah Silverman's party last year. Talked to him. He said he was the nicest guy in the world.
Is that right?
Yeah, and then Tim...
Daily.
Daily is in Leanne's show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she plays Leanne's love interest.
He does. Amazing.
He does. Yeah, sorry.
He's a great actor.
Fantastic actor. Accomplished.
Yes. Tyne Daly's brother.
Is that right?
90% sure.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
I got nothing on
anyway, this. But Wings, man, underrated. Always lived in the shadow of Cheers.
I mean, if that's how you saw it.
I mean, I think that's accurate. It was the same people.
What was it? I don't even know what the show was about.
Wings?
Yeah,
two brothers.
Out partying.
They ran a little airport.
Little airport, yeah. I guess somewhere in New England.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Hilarity ensued, but so many of those people went on to, you know, they got great careers. It was a good
it's funny,
cast.
I did go great back chemistry. And watch a couple episodes, and I was like, this does not hold up.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, I thought it was so great when I saw it. Yeah, yeah.
So it's about working in an airport.
Sure.
A small airport. I think they run an airline. The Steven Weber's a pilot. I think the two brothers and they're
pilots, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. They're kind of an odd couple. One's really very straight laced. One's a little bit of a loose cannon, a maverick, if you will.
It'd be Steven Weber. Yeah. Uh-huh. His character.
And then, you know, just the characters they meet.
Did the show have some legs? We know it had wings.
Oh,
so.
No. It did real well.
It went several seasons. Yeah. Nantucket.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a great show. Well, can you look up Crystal Bernard's song? She does a duet with somebody that is out of this world.
So she was a singer?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And then she also was in, she had a few, Crystal Bernard.
Yeah.
What was her? Just put duet.
You're not even aware of this show?
Oh.
Peter Cetera?
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Holy, is that the guy from Chicago?
Chicago?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, now I'm getting it. Okay.
And then
I want to take forever tonight.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah, he was the Karate Kid song, right?
Yes, exactly.
I'm getting it.
Glory of Love. Right,
I'm,
yeah. Anyway,
I'm
can't
it
say
did
enough.
It all for the glory of love.
Did it all for the glory of love. Karate Kid 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it where they the things and the
yeah he didn't he wasn't Joe Esposito.
No.
Yeah. What's that was?
You're the
best.
Right there. Yeah. Around.
Yeah.
No one I'm going to bring
Gary
down.
Goldman had some good material about that song.
Did he really?
You're the best. Around. No, Joe Esposito, right?
Yeah. He had a couple others. Anyway, whatever.
Joe Esposito had some other stuff?
He did. He has at least one other thing that I think is also a soundtrack song, but I could be wrong. We're going deep here. Randy doesn't have time.
We're going real deep.
Look all this stuff up.
Yeah, Randy's about six lookups behind. He's not on his game today.
I did something cool this week. Speaking of all the music stuff. There it is.
Loves it.
Someday I
enjoyed it that one.
I want to. Yeah.
All right. Sometimes they get me going.
He hit you last week.
See it coming. So.
Joe Esposito, 77 years old. He had some other hits.
All right. He's got the same hat as Jim Carrey in The Mask.
Oh, yeah.
Fedora?
Yeah. Remember Carrey turned green and he wore that cool hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix right now if you want to go.
The Mask? Does The Mask hold up?
I enjoy it.
No kidding.
Yeah, I had fun watching it.
I haven't seen that.
Somebody. Stop me.
Smoking. I went down to Memphis, Tennessee this week and recorded a song at Sun Studios, which is the where Elvis got his start. The whole Million Dollar Quartet, they were all there. So Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, Johnny Cash, all these guys recorded down there, and I've taken the tour, all that. I say it's the birthplace of rock and roll, all this stuff. And then I went down and recorded a song with Kevin, who I do the musical act with, also did the Consumers theme song. We went down there and in this very sacred rock and roll studio recorded our completely absurd songs and had the best time ever. It was incredible.
Okay, man.
What'd you record?
What did we record?
Yeah.
We recorded a song of ours. Well, we recorded a few songs just to do them, but the one we mostly focused on was a song called Snooze Button that we have.
Oh yeah.
And we did not tell, you know, these engineers used the engineers there and we did not tell them. They knew very little about us because they're just doing sessions all the time. And it's interesting. They do tours of this studio. You can only record there at night because they make so much money doing the tours that the sessions don't start until after 6 PM. So we roll in there. They knew very little about the project. And then we started going. The song is like, I'm singing falsetto. It's completely silly. And so we shot like their reactions, these Sun employees to.
Did they laugh?
Kevin and I do it. Yeah, they totally got it. Part of us wanted them like not to. Like we thought that would have made for kind of an interesting story. But they were got it immediately. We're so cool. Our engineer happened to. He grew up in St. Louis. And anyway, they were super cool. It was just really, really fun to just do something so stupid in that incredible place that I've always wanted to go to. So it was awesome. It's like, this is the Mike Elvis sang in and he stood right here. You know, there's an X on the ground. They're like, if you want to stand where Elvis stood, stand here. And if you want to do that, you know, all these crazy things.
And he recorded a bunch of albums in there.
Elvis, I think just his first kind of few songs, and then he'd go back. With him, it was also his label, this guy, Sam Phillips, who started the studio, and he was also a radio DJ. And it was all like, back then, this guy was a radio station, a record producer, and the label. So he kind of released the first Elvis stuff, and then people would go back. And then now it's this legendary room that people will go back and make albums and stuff, but they won't shut down the tours. They make too much money.
Right.
So apparently like Paul McCartney was like, hey, I want to come in for 3 weeks and do an album. They're like, cool, you can start at 6 every night and we're taking all your stuff down so that we can run tours in this place.
Wow.
Yeah. But
you really think they wouldn't let McCartney do it?
Are you saying
that just because they said no to you?
No. No, apparently that is the story. Now,
McCartney can't even get in there.
I would think
he said no to me and Kevin, so I assume they're going to keep things even.
No, I asked about this. I'm just saying they make so much doing those tours and merch and everything else that if McCartney was dying to be there, I'm sure he could have written that check, but I think it's kind of an extra expense. And in all honesty, the room isn't much bigger than this room right here. And there aren't like isolation booths.
I was taking a shot at Randy's house.
No, this is a
guy.
Great studio. But there aren't isolation booths. A lot of like modern recording stuff. You go in there and you record it kind of how they used to. All guys in a room, one take. Here we go. Let's get it. It's really, really cool.
Did you think they're going to talk about you on the tour now?
Oh, on the Sun Records tour?
I think so.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little wing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Carl Perkins.
This is Love Me Tender right here. And then Snooze Button by Convy and Bowers was right here.
I enjoy Snooze Button, man.
So do I. I've got a little bit of a surprise. It's
Yeah, there's a little kid. It's got like a fun catch to it, man.
Yeah. So look for that. We'll put that out eventually. But yeah, super, just a really, really cool experience. Memphis is so cool. All
did
the
you
music
stay down there that night?
We did. We stayed at
the duck place.
Yeah, we did. The Peabody Hotel.
Yeah, it's where they familiar? Have the ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Went up to the roof, hung out with the ducks a little bit. There's a duck palace up there.
Oh, cool.
So are you familiar with this, Sean?
Not a clue.
This hotel, I mean, ducks live on the top, right? And the whole deal is that twice a day, the ducks ride the elevator down. It's a very fancy hotel downtown Memphis. Ride the elevator down. Stops at the ground floor. There's a duck. I believe it's a duck master. Sort of has his
cigar thing.
Baton, if you will. And the ducks walk to the fountain in the middle of the lobby. Hang out for a little bit. It's just packed. People are taking pictures. They're going crazy. And then they ride back up and they go back up to the duck palace.
They walk out. They walk. Yeah. They there's like a.
They waddle.
Waddle in line. Yeah.
How many ducks are we talking here?
10? Less than 10?
Probably 10 ducks.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 10 ducks. About 10 ducks, if I had to guess. Red carpet, the whole thing. And yeah, kids come out. It's a little underwhelming, but it's a cool thing. And so that's the theme throughout the hotel. All the rooms have duck artwork, and it was cool.
Okay.
It was cool.
Now you're a vegan. Did Kevin get any barbecue when you were down there?
We didn't do barbecue down there. No.
That's a shame.
I know.
Memphis is kind of famous for their dry rub, I believe, and their ribs.
There's a place there that I've been before. I can't think of the name of it. It's sort of underground. It's like in a basement. It's a really cool
barbecue place.
Spot. Yeah.
The chain, I think, is Corky's.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think there's some, you know, local spots.
Yeah. Now, we were pressed on time. We ate at Jimmy John's.
That's pathetic.
I know. Yeah, well, I know.
Even Sean and I don't. Sean's kind of a snob when it comes to eating on the road.
I mean, I don't know about snob, man. A
couple times I've been like, let's just go to Chipotle. You're like, no, we're getting sit down.
First watch or nothing.
Well, yeah, first watch. Yeah. I don't mind a first watch. So, yeah, I just said my thing is it's like if we're going to have one good meal, let's do it right.
Yeah.
You know, that's all.
I'm just saying,
like, let's have a little fun.
Yeah.
Although, as I say that, I did take Brian Bates to first watch. So,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Kind of being a hypocrite there.
Yeah.
So. First watch, pretty good, man.
I love it. I'm a fan for sure.
Sean, you had a rough weekend.
Rough weekend. I was in the hospital. Not really, but I did go to the hospital. Well, I went. All right, here,
Sean, just tell the story.
I went to the ER. Yeah, I went to the
ER. You're
going
to have to tell this a little quicker than you told me on the phone Saturday.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't having it.
Driving
he was like,
around.
Dude, I got friends in the car.
No.
Are you dead or what?
No, I was genuinely
I'm fine,
concerned.
Guys, I'm fine.
I was
right,
genuinely
I gotta
concerned.
Go, man.
Annie Huggins was in the car with me. I was in Houston. Yeah. And I pick up, just happened to be Sean called back right when I picked up Huggins. So I knew he went to the hospital and he's telling me, and I'm like, I can't be a jerk here. I got to listen to him. And for about 10 minutes, I let him go. And then he was like going, and then they pulled the thing out of the, and I'm like,
yeah,
well, and I know. I go, all right, buddy. I'm sorry. You got to cut to the end.
Right. Right. Well, I was giving him the full version because I didn't know he was in a situation
with
where he couldn't talk.
Sure.
So sometimes we get along conversations and I was going to paint the whole A to Z, but yeah, basically on Thursday night, I'm at the club. I was having some chest pain, mild discomfort, and then it kind of went away. All right. And then like 2 hours later, it's back again. And I'm like, huh? And I want to be clear. Maybe not so much pain, like a tightness. I had a chest tightness.
Yes, yeah, good.
And I'm just like, And so I'm doing that thing where I'm just like, it's nothing. And then I'm just talking to comics and I'm like, oh, what's going on? But I could just keep feeling it. And then I'm like, then I go to Scott James, the comic. I go, hey, do I look okay? He goes, no. And I'm like, but he's doing a bit like just being silly.
Yeah, you asked
like,
the wrong guy.
Yeah. I'm like, I was like, I don't look like pale or anything. He's like, I don't know. He goes, yeah, you look fine. And I'm like, okay. And then I just kind of waited. And then I was like, let me drink some water. And then it just got worse. I just had this tightening and I'm like, oh man. Like, and then I just started thinking, I was like a friend of ours. He had a stroke. He's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that was in my mind. He's my age. And I'm just like, I don't know what is going on here. And I'm like, I think I should, you know, that's a probably kick. It's no urgent care after like 7.
Mm.
You know, this to me was an urgent care stop.
Not when it's heart related.
True, but they would have told me that. Like,
yeah, but I've been in this situation before.
Okay.
And you go to there at our age, they're going to be like, if there's anything heart related, they'd be like, go to the ER now. Because the only place you can get that enzyme test.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it is in the ER. You cannot, they can give you EKG, but none of that.
Yeah.
It's in the ER.
Yeah. That
troponin.
Yeah. Troponin or something. So
yeah.
Yeah, so
troponin,
I'm like
troponin, I think. Yeah,
we're close. So yeah. I don't know. I get my buddy Eric Russler. Eric, guest host of the podcast. He fills it for Andy.
Guest producer.
I should say. Thank
Love
you.
Eric.
Yeah,
Eric's there. He goes, I'll take you in. Go to Mercy, and I'm like, I'm walking, and I'm just like, my chest is really tight, and they're like, okay, and they're just like, date of birth, and then that's it. They had all my stuff. I don't know how, but they just, I guess the networks talk. That's all I asked for. They have my name and everything, and then immediately right to a room. Yeah. I mean, like,
yeah, the heart will get you there.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
Yeah, you jump the line, and I'm looking around. There's like 25 people in the ER, and I was like, oh man, I was like, no, I kind of hope it is something because they just jumped the line.
Yeah,
but turns out you have to with the heart thing. So basically they put the stickers on EKG, and I'm nervous. See, I'm really nervous. So what I do is in those situations when I get nervous, I talk more than I usually talk. Like I already talk a lot. So I decided to ask, I assume it was a nurse who was putting the EKG stickers on me. I go, hey, so do you watch The Pit?
Jeez.
And she's like, that's no.
Yeah.
I go, do you get asked that a lot? She goes, all the time. And I'm like, boy, do I lack originality on that one.
Yeah. Great show.
Pit's great. So yeah, basically, I mean, really, that was... The EKG was fine. Then they do. See, all I wanted this is what I want. I just wanted, like, hey, I'm not having a heart attack, right? All right, I'll leave.
Yeah,
but that's not how it works. You know, right. I get it. They got to run blood work and then they want to take a chest X-ray. And, you know, it turns into like an 8-hour event, which is fine. I'm not complaining. I'm not. But it's like at this point, it's 3 a.m. I haven't seen a doctor. And I'm like, well, you got my blood work, you got the chest X-ray. I'm going up to the counter and I'm like, hey, can I have my little needle out? And I think I'd like to go. I don't think I'm dying. And they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Did they have to sign anything saying? I think
I had to sign off that being like, yeah.
If you die, it's not on us.
If you die, it's not on us, buddy. You know, you didn't see a doctor. But, and it's that thing too, that like it's all tracked through, you know, like an app now, like your wait time.
Yeah.
And so I just kept saying 2 hours. It's like the airport. 2 hours.
Telling you 2 hours until you see a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
2 hours. But
some of it that means nothing.
Yeah. Right.
Like
and
dominoes.
Then it went to 1:30. So I'm like, okay, we're getting there.
Yeah.
30 minutes later, back to 2 hours. So I'm just like, and I get it. They probably had obviously bigger causes of concerns than me at that moment. But,
right.
So it was pretty wild. I give up. They did a good job. Mercy is a good hospital.
That's the heart hospital, man.
Is that?
Yeah, that's if you're having heart problems, that's where you want to go.
And I don't know what I had. They basically chalked it up to anxiety, stress attack, but they're like, you can have them, even though I was like, well, yeah, but I wasn't anxious.
You told them the live podcast was coming up, and they were like, well, this is...
I was like, yeah, guys.
Well, they
like,
probably saw this week you eating those maple donut things and going, it might have something to do with it.
I'm telling you guys right now, that was... That was unbelievable. It was the best thing ever. I mean, I think I might bring that maple donut to the Entenmann's podcast.
I think maybe don't have one. You had a heart attack from it.
Yeah.
Or what about, and then you said you went heavy up on some coffee that day.
I went heavy on coffee that day. And I took like an over-the-counter sleep aid the night before. And sometimes I'll take a Unisom. But it gets me to sleep, but it gets me real groggy the next day.
Yeah.
For me, that's just how... So on one hand, I get to sleep. On the other hand, I felt like I got hit by the bus the next day. So yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm dragging. I'm going to have a third Keurig. That's what I do. I do a measure by the K-cups. And so I was like, maybe it was that. But I don't know. I don't think a lot of people go to the ER because they had an extra cup of coffee. You know,
they said you were dehydrated, though, right?
Very dehydrated.
That's bad. Sodium was bad. It's a miserable feeling.
Yep. And
sodium was bad?
Yeah. Sodium was all screwed up. Which I think that like checks in with dehydration and blood pressure. Not good. Not good. I was bad. And I think 150 over 95.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys don't know what blood pressure is?
I don't know what's good or bad.
Familiar with the concept. I never know what the numbers are.
I think 120 over 80, you're in the sweet spot.
I got mine today, whatever it was. They said it was great.
Yeah?
Oh, okay. What, you have to get yours clean?
No.
You're usually...
No, I'm good. I've been all right for a while. I'm doing a few months. No, I got a... I just had a regular checkup and got a flu shot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And they took your blood pressure.
They did, yeah.
And you don't remember the score.
The actual number? No. No.
They said it was good.
They said it was good.
They were like, this is incredible.
And you're feeling okay now?
Yeah. But it is buggy. I'm like, what the heck happened? You know?
And you're going to go to the doctor here soon?
Yeah. Yeah, I got to go tomorrow.
Okay. We'll be
anxious. So we'll see. So I made it. But there was a 5-minute window there. I thought I was going to die.
You were telling Greg.
I was really concerned.
He was in a car full of friends and stuff. You and I were having a casual text exchange.
Yeah.
I was asking you about something at the club or something. We're going back and forth. And then I'm like, oh, can you call me? Or I asked something of you. And you said, going to the hospital.
Yeah.
Like it was just a normal, like, gonna grab dinner and I'll call you afterwards. And I was like, what's going on, Sean?
Yeah, I know. Well, how do you convey that in a text without being weird? You know,
but you answered.
That's
like,
how I found out, I think, in a text. Sorry, I couldn't talk yesterday. I was in the hospital.
You answered
I'll call you when I can.
You answered my four previous questions completely casually, like, oh, who's featuring? Ah, yeah. Oh, Eric's up here. Oh, what time is this? Ah, it's four. And then you go, going to the hospital.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's where in my mind I was blocking it out. I'm like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. You probably just have heartburn. You know, that's what I was saying while I was texting you.
Yeah.
And then it kept getting worse.
I did that early 20s. Went to the hospital, thought I was having a heart attack and it was heartburn.
Yeah. I was ready to go, man. I was ready to go up there.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I'm okay. You
Me
do
too.
Feel
I'll be honest.
Like an idiot, though, that.
No, if you're dehydrated, idiot, man, that's a horrible thing. The only way to. I assume they gave you an IV?
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. You probably felt better fairly quickly.
Very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you might have just been dehydrated, man, with the caffeine.
Yeah, but I don't
know
why that would cause chest tightness. That's what I can't.
I was ready to go up there for you, man. I had bullet points on a killer eulogy. Like, I was ready.
Is that right?
Or really? Whatever. Yeah, because I figured Greg's probably going to talk too. So, like, I got to bring it. Greg's real good.
Who follows who in that deal?
I think Greg shuts it down.
Is he closing?
Purely name recognition.
Yeah.
But I'd be a tough follow.
I'm not opening for Tim.
I'd be
not opening for Tim anywhere.
I said it. Greg's after. Yeah.
I'm
would
not
be
open for Tim at your funeral.
At your funeral.
Anywhere. I'm not opening for Tim.
At your funeral, I'd be a tough.
Not an opener.
You're not an opener, buddy. I'll agree with that.
I would be a tough follow at your funeral. I'm putting that out there now. A tough follow for anybody. I would bring it.
Gotcha, man. So, yeah, you'd have to follow. All right. So, Greg would have no problem following.
Greg's.
You'd bring heat at the funeral, is what I'm saying.
Yes. Okay. I'd make him think
you
about it.
Sometimes he doesn't even make it to the stage.
Like, oh, well. We all know about that.
I'd give him something to think about. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
At your funeral.
Yeah. How much time are you doing?
I mean, am I stopping for tears? You know
what I
mean?
That counts. You know, that's the crowd
honestly,
work.
I would do a little crowd work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it could be. I'm good for 20.
He does like
22, 23.
He does like gutless crowd work, though. It's not real
not my,
crowd
you haven't
work.
Seen my eulogy.
I know he's getting his version of crowd work will be like this, and he'll go, "That guy knows what I'm talking about."
Sean was a great guy,
and then he's like, "What do you do, sir?" Yeah. And then he doesn't even let the guy answer the question.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
How many people in here? This is how many people here? Like Sean.
Hey, let's give it up for Sean real quick, everybody.
Sean. Yeah.
And the troops.
I'm basically just getting applause.
Who's drinking?
I got him right where I want him.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, you know, the thing is, it's just, I'm not going to be speaking at either of your funerals, more than likely.
Why? No, probably not.
Oh, dude, you'll outlive me. 110%.
Dude, I am a mess. Then this is a wake up call, man.
Oh yeah.
The fact that you say you're gonna you need to get it together.
No, it's not because of my head. It's not because that. Like, I'll probably like fall into a grate or something, crack my head, and go that way.
Yeah, you got to get.
It's
it
not
together.
Gonna be. Yeah.
Because I got you by several years. You know.
Yeah. Well, you're 10 years older.
No, more.
More.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody told you?
Oh, I thought it was 10 the whole time. It's more than that. Yeah. I don't know, man.
You guys think that I'm not
Sean's
be
the youngest.
These guys think I have to, my townhouse that I just invested everything in, These guys think I have limited time there because of the stairs. You guys both mentioned that at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, you got a big problem there. There's no doubt.
Neither one of them go to the gym. But I am not going to be able to make it up the stairs within 2 years from now.
No, you got a few years, but it's you're not going to. That's not going to be your last place of residence.
No, 100% not.
Which is great. It's
going to be in a home.
You put people up there. It's close to me.
No, you're going to Airbnb that thing and get to a ranch immediately.
Condo Uno, I call it. That's what I call
it. not Casa Dos. Yeah. Condo Uno.
When you're in St. Louis, you stay at Condo Uno.
My brother's staying there right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, great. My brother just got in town.
Yeah.
Did you get your TV fixed, by the way?
Yeah, man.
People are writing in.
Let me tell you, man, I got the TV fixed.
Okay.
And the guy said, once I fixed a lot of these and I never have to fix them again. So I think we're good there.
Okay.
Excuse me. I got new stairs going up to, going up to the door. Those were rotten out.
Oh, that's right.
And I got a new deck.
Wow. All right,
as
man.
As well as the washer and dryer.
Washer and dryer.
Everything. Tim's mom's dragging her feet on the curtain.
Uh-oh.
But if we can get that taken care of.
Gotta be right.
Your mom,
it's gotta be right.
She's done great work for me, but honestly.
But she's dragging her feet. You just said that.
Well, she's putting it off on a lot of people. So-and-so. The curtain's in, but the rod, you got to be patient.
Rods, do people take the rods for granted?
Yeah.
Does your mom deck out your house?
No.
You can't say something like that.
Deck out the house? What did I do?
Because now it's like, if he says yes, then Emma's like, what? I had nothing to do with this?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, and if he says no, then his mom's like, oh, so I just didn't do anything those hours that I spent over there? So, you just sometimes got to learn to shut up.
Well, I started a lot of trouble with that question.
The brand this week is Ray-Bans. Tim did all the work on it, so let's see what he's got.
How do you feel about this, Greg? You think he's got it?
Yeah, he's certainly... Well, I don't know. Sometimes people tend to overcompensate with stuff like... displays and tchotchkes in giveaway when they've got no substance. So he certainly did this well.
All right, pretty solid display.
Very solid display. Concerns me a little bit that you're covering up for a lack of research.
No. I did a lot of research. I'm excited about this. I am a I'm a Ray-Ban fan. I learned a lot doing this. Okay. Some good, some not so good. But I'm excited to get into it. And then I brought, we typically buy a lot of product for the set when we do these things. Ray-Ban's expensive. So I will say right now, these are some imitation Wayfarers and also the aviators that I have. So if you're watching on YouTube, some of these are mine. There's three pair that are mine, are the real ones, and then there's a lot of fake ones. But
so this isn't real Ray-Bans.
The ones I put in front of you are not real. But we'll do a little comparison. We'll wear the cheap ones. These are basically like party favors. These
J-Bans.
Ones are, J-Bans. Yeah. No, we were saying... Yeah. Randy.
Yeah, those are
Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
Ray-Bans. they're real cheap, but... Part of the story of Ray-Bans, the sunglasses, is how easy they are to duplicate, how often they're duplicated. We'll get into all that. I'm a fan. Do you guys wear them? Is Ray-Bans a part of your life at all?
I think I might have some. I don't know if what I have is Ray-Bans right now, but yeah, I've had some.
Yeah.
I'd lose them all the time, but yeah.
Not something you're loyal to?
I think they're cool.
Sean?
I mean, look, man, they make a nice pair of sunglasses.
Yeah.
I don't know if they make... a $250 value for me. I don't know if the value's there.
Right.
For the way I like the wafer. They look cool.
Yeah.
I look
about your
them.
Eyes though, man.
What's that?
About protecting your eyes.
Is that
sometimes? I mean, we'll get into the
because then there's like polarized and non-polarized, right? Isn't it like there's two different?
Correct. Yes. We'll get into kind of the spectrum of sunglasses a little bit, but they are, the ones I get. I'm pretty loyal. I probably have been for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Before that, I was wearing who knows what. But for the most part, I do the standard Wayfarer. It's the black ones, the ones you picture Tom Cruise in Risky Business, which we'll get into. The Blues Brothers ones, those are what you picture.
Roy Orbison, was he?
So we're going to get into a lot of that.
A lot of stuff we're going to get into. Can we just get into
celebrity
get
stuff? Into we're about to get into it. I'm establishing my personal connection with the brand. That's what I wear. That's what I've worn for a while. So I'm into them. Let's get into the history.
Please.
It starts with a guy named John Arthur MacCready. Have you guys ever heard of him?
No, MacCready. I've heard of MacCready's, but I don't think it's this one.
I've heard of Creed.
This guy is, you have heard of Creed. This guy is unbelievable to the point where I had to check so many things to make sure that this was legit. The accomplishments of this guy, it's like when people tell Chuck Norris stories. It's unreal what this guy
Forrest
has done.
Gump type stuff.
Yes, it's crazy. John Arthur MacCready was a pilot. He was born in San Diego in 1887. He lived 91 years. I will tell you this. He connects to our Ray-Ban story, but this guy has done so much that Ray-Ban not even mentioned on his Wikipedia page.
Wow.
And no, that was not my only source. Yes, I read a bunch of different things, but it is just, you know, one page, a footnote in the chapters of this guy's life. He went to Stanford, not the most interesting thing about him. He wrote a basic flight manual called The All-Through System of Flying Instructions. It literally became the book for the U.S. military's basic flight manual training during the early years of aviation. He wrote the book on aviation. In 1921, he became the first person to test fly an experimental aerial application, which is known as crop dusting. He literally was behind the wheel of the first plane to ever do crop dusting. He was the first guy to do it. Wrote the training manual, first guy to ever crop dust. First pilot ever to bail out of a stricken aircraft at night. He was the first person to be like, I'm out of here at night. They had done it during the day, done the parachute, but he got in trouble. June of 24, didn't know what to do.
What conflict was that?
This was
World War One.
So this guy, he eventually was in World War II, but at the time that this happened, he was just a test pilot.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Just trying his early days of aviation, trying different things, and that's why he has accomplished so much. So the first guy to bail out of his plane at night, he did it just over Dayton, Ohio. He thought he was going to make an emergency landing. But the flares that he wanted to release didn't work. He tried and they didn't work. So he's like, I'm just going to trust my parachute. And he jumped to safety. There's something called the McKay Trophy. It is awarded for the year's greatest accomplishment in aviation by an American pilot. Our guy MacCready won it three times, three consecutive years, and for all different things. So again, these are all interesting things this guy's done before we even get to it.
Okay.
In 1921, he won it for altitude, just going straight up, seeing how high he could get. A series of altitude test flights at McCook Field, over 40,000 feet he went up. And this one, by the way, the first involving the use of supplemental oxygen. He was the first guy to be like, I need oxygen because I'm so high up.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. That's another first.
So he's like, he paved the way for Top Gun.
All kinds of stuff.
I guess in more ways than one.
Right? Yeah. It really is crazy. In 1922, he won the McKay Trophy for an endurance record from October 5th to October 6th. He went around with his partner, Oakley G. Kelly, and they established the world flight record. How long do you think it was at the time?
Wait a minute.
1922.
The guy that invented Ray-Bans had a partner named Oakley.
Yeah.
See, now this is all lies. This is too much.
Yeah.
It's real,
Greg.
Yeah,
I don't like any of this.
What is this?
Man? Hang on. We'll get there.
New topic.
You calling it?
Yeah. I went out. The whole thing stinks.
The endurance record at the time in 1922, they were up in this plane for 35 hours and 18 and a half minutes. Also, this flight, it led to the development of the world's first air-to-air refueling system. You're up that long, you need gas, and now they do it. I remember it from the Top Gun video game. A plane comes in and refuels you in the air. He was a part of all that.
Wow.
1923, he also won the McKay Trophy. This time, the first nonstop coast-to-coast flight. The flight began May 2nd, 1923, and concluded May 3rd. He left from New York, and he landed in San Diego.
Who was his co-pilot this time?
Same dude.
Foster Grant.
It was Oakley Kelly. They did that in 26 hours and 50 minutes. Also in this one, this guy was the first guy ever, was on this flight. While in the air, he made the first ever in-flight aircraft engine repair in history.
Jeez.
The engine went out, and in the air, this guy did it. He replaced a defective voltage regulator switch while the single-engine, high-wing Fokker T2 Liberty monoplane churned westward.
Wow.
First guy to ever fix an engine in the plane. First guy to bail out of his plane at night. It's and then set all kinds of records for altitude, speed, all this stuff.
Imagine me and Sean up there. If the engine went out and one of us is yelling.
They're like, I got it.
Sean's yelling at me.
I'll steer.
You don't know what you're doing. I know how to do this.
You did help me fix my car that one time, man.
I did?
Yeah. Remember, you had to smash the battery? We were parked outside
No, that was a terrible day.
Yeah, that was. Just quick, sorry, not the internet. Just is hilarious, man. Greg,
we haven't told this before?
I don't think we've told this. It's Greg's, I think one of, I don't know, it was way 12 years ago. I think he sold out the Funny Bone.
No, it was the
Comedy Central.
My Comedy Central special came out, and I felt like I was a big deal.
Yeah, it was Greg Comedy, and I'm like, he's like, yeah, let's go get a good dinner, and we went somewhere pretty fancy, and then we were like down. I think we were on Clayton Road.
Webster.
And I had the Mustang. I had the 97 Mustang.
Look out.
But it was having some problems at
waitress
the time.
Waitress was like being cool to us.
Yeah, waitress, very attractive.
Got recognized there. It was like, it was a great day.
But I have some issues with the battery cable. Sometimes we get loose.
Okay.
So basically, it was 50-50 if the car would start. Well, we got there. And then we went to leave, the car didn't start. So Greg's like, oh, come on, man. I was like, don't worry, man. This happens all the time. Just pop the hood. And he had to take a hammer and just kind of like hammer the battery in.
Everything was the coolest night of my life, looking like the coolest guy. And then everybody's looking. It's right out in front of the restaurant, in front of all the windows. Sean's like,
you got to hit it with a hammer.
Come on, man. Hard.
You got to hit it with a hammer. He's got dirt all over his hands. Like, did I see you on TV last night? Got engine oil dripping down his hands.
Like, no, Greg, you got to hit it with a hammer.
He's like, man, I can't stand you, Sean. I cannot stand you. I can't stand
that
you.
That is great. What was the restaurant?
CJ Muggs.
Oh, nice. Sure.
Yeah. Great. I'm like, you got to shake the battery more.
CJ Muggs is like, all you can windows. Just see everything.
And it's on a corner, too.
Yeah,
so
you see everything. Everybody's just looking out like, hey, wasn't that the guy that was doing it?
Like, man, he's got to really update his car. I think it's in great shape.
1972 Mustang.
That's great. So back to McCready, man. Unbelievable. Only guy to win the McKay Trophy 3 times, again, for all different things. He resigned from the air service in 1926, and then he took a job as head of aviation for Shell Oil.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty big deal. He retired in 1933, but then World War II hit. And you've heard all the things this guy did. You think they're going to go into World War II without putting McCready up in a plane? Of course not. They pulled him out of retirement. Sent him up there.
So he's what, in his 40s or something?
That's why we won the war. He retired from active duty in 1948, and this guy was born in 1887. So, yeah, so he's an old guy. 60 something flying around.
Yeah.
That's how we won the war, though.
McCready?
McCready did it. Okay, so he retired in 1948. He died in 1979. McCready, obviously enshrined in the National Aviation Hall of Fame and the International Air and Space Hall of Fame. What a legend, right?
Sure.
And I know what you guys are thinking. What about Ray-Ban? We'll get there. Before I take you into the world of Ray-Ban, I want to tell you about another pilot, a friend of his. This guy's name was Captain Rudolph W. Schroeder. His nickname was Shorty. Shorty Schroeder. Obviously, he was a test pilot. Shorty Schroeder, by the way, 6'4". It was an ironic nickname. I know you're a fan.
Oh, I get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about
They say the fat biker they call Tiny a lot.
Yeah.
Shorty Schroeder. So Shorty Schroeder is a test pilot, which, man, I started reading about this stuff. First of all, a lot of people take it very, very seriously, and it's a lot of, like, stuff of legend. Even all that McCready stuff, it's like, did that one guy really do all of those things?
Yeah.
But it's pretty interesting. And this Schroeder guy, similar, just crazy story. So a few years before McCready got into the game, Schroeder was setting the altitude records. These guys would just get in planes, keep their fingers crossed, go as high as they could, and then come down and hope that it worked out. So he was doing it all the time, right? He was constantly breaking his own record. And then the different companies would get involved and be like, I think we can get that thing to go higher. So in 1920, old Shorty Schroeder gets into an airplane fitted with a General Electric turbo supercharger.
Oh, yeah, those are nice.
And he just goes, yeah, I'll try it. Why not? He set the world record that day, over 33,000 feet. That's 4,000 feet higher than anyone had ever been at that point.
I thought he was already at 40,000.
Okay. No, your guy McCready was. I'm talking about Shorty Schroeder, a few years before.
Who's actually tall.
So he goes all the way up there. No one's ever been that high up. guess what? Things are cold. There's not a lot of oxygen. Schroeder at the time was wearing fur-lined goggles, which were standard gear for the pilots at the time, but the goggles were known for not performing well, and no one had ever been up there. Things went wrong. There's different stories about this. I came across a few things. Again, it's all the stuff of legend. Wow. The goggles, we think, fogged up, perhaps, when you went that high. That was a thing that a lot of airplane pilots were complaining about at the time. Keep in mind, these are those planes where they're out in the open air. Yeah. I was reading all this stuff, and I was picturing these guys in cockpits and stuff, and for a lot of it, they're just out
there. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Leo in The Aviator.
Totally. Yeah. So they're wearing the, you know, the fur-lined goggles, and a lot of times they have these full, like, fur face masks. It's absolutely insane. So the goggles fogged up. There's another idea that maybe he couldn't breathe well enough, so he took the whole thing off. Either way, all the way up there, minus 63 degrees.
No.
Okay. I'll buy that.
You can't survive.
You know what happens?
You get cold.
Your eyeballs freeze.
Really?
He takes the mask off, his eyeballs freeze. Freeze to the eyelids. I know. You hate to see it, especially to Shorty Schroeder.
Fancy.
So listen to this. He's up in the air. He's higher than anyone's ever been. His eyeballs start freezing. And then he passes out from the lack of oxygen and the carbon monoxide poisoning. This plane starts going down. It plummets almost 6 miles in 2 minutes. And then at the very last minute, he regains consciousness and he just pulls up with everything he's got and he survives. He can barely see because his eyeballs are frozen.
Jeez.
But he was able to find the field and land safely.
Shorty
Schroeder.
He can't breathe. He can't see. He passes out.
And wakes up just in time.
And he's about 1,000 feet for going.
Yep.
And then he just
pulls
up. Yanks it back, and there you go.
And as the story goes, guess who's the first one there to pull him out of the plane?
Our boy.
MacReady.
Our boy, MacReady. Two things occur to MacReady at this time. Number one, we got to do something about these goggles. This guy's eyeballs are frozen.
Yeah, it's not.
He simultaneously realizes Shorty Schroeder's out of the game. I'm the guy now. I'm going to be doing these altitude tests. I'm the guy who's going to be piloting this plane with something literally called a turbo supercharger powering this thing. I got to figure something out. I don't want my eyeballs to freeze.
Yeah. So Shorty's done after that?
Shorty's done. Shorty's vision never fully came back. I mean, he lived a good life.
Now, it would be that cold.
Went on to a successful piano career, right?
Schroeder? Yeah. That was, no, different Schroeder.
Okay.
That wasn't Shorty. So he's like, man, I don't want my eyeballs to freeze. Also, at the time, many U.S. Air Force pilots were complaining that the blinding glare of the sun at high altitudes was affecting their visibility. They get headaches, altitude sickness, all this stuff, because all the way up there, it was just a mess.
Now, is it always that cold up there, regardless of what time of year or even time of day?
I'm going to say yes.
Oh, no, in the summer, it gets all the way up to negative 43.
Like, yeah, it warms
it's
up.
Beautiful up there in the summertime. Yeah. That's right.
That's why I was asking.
40,000 feet.
Maybe you wouldn't have the frozen eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly.
If you
picked
the right season to go.
So MacReady's like, man, we got to figure this whole thing out. Where do you go to solve problems? Where in this great United States do you go to solve problems? I'm looking for a city.
Myrtle Beach is where I no.
Solve a
lot of my problems.
Where do you go? Where? To what?
To solve problems. You go to Rochester, New York.
What?
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, man. He's going to be so happy about this episode.
Because you know what was based in Rochester,
Kodak.
New York? No.
Xerox?
No. All right. RPI.
You should know this.
Hold on. Just relax.
They're co-based. They're kind of still based there.
Oh, Bausch & Lomb.
You got it,
there
buddy.
Go. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is Bausch & Lomb a big part of Rochester?
I believe so, man. Yeah. I mean, I think headquarters are there.
It's there. They also have kind of a headquarters in Toronto, I believe. But Bausch & Lomb.
No, it's Lomb's up in Toronto.
Oh, and Bausch is
down.
Bausch & Lomb founded in Rochester, New York in 1853 by an optician named John Bausch and a cabinet maker turned financial backer named Henry Lomb. It was sold in 2013, but until then was one of the oldest continually operating companies in the United States. They started out making monocles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of the stuff I read said they were the first people to make eyeglasses as we know them today. So it would make sense that old MacReady.
You think they were the one who supplied Mr. Peanut his monocle?
Back then, absolutely.
Yeah, you think it was them? Yeah.
Well, and he was kind of a Northeastern guy, too.
Yeah, Peanut got his. I think Bud Friedman got his 2 years later.
Oh, that could be.
Yeah.
What about the Monopoly guy? Doesn't he have one?
His was bespoke.
What's that?
And it's like when it's like custom, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Do you know how much money that Monopoly guy has?
Lots. Yeah.
It's insane. Boardwalk alone is worth a fortune.
Yeah, he's a real estate mogul. And then Clink, didn't he have a monocle too?
Who's that?
Colonel Clink.
Was he in
Hogan's Heroes?
Hogan's Heroes.
Randy, am I right?
Randy got it.
Yes. Yeah, no,
Colonel Clink, did he have a monocle?
A lot of good monocles.
There's
folks.
A Monocle's Pizza in Illinois.
It's spelled very differently.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
Colonel Wilhelm Clink.
Yeah,
monocle,
there you go.
All right. Nobody's wearing monocles anymore.
Werner Klemper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Clink had it. Clink, man, they pulled a lot of fast ones on him.
On Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah, I'm
not super familiar,
he was
honestly.
He was the German guy that ran the prison camp, and Hogan and his buddies, they pulled a lot of fast ones on him.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that.
Big fan of the show, Greg?
Hogan's Heroes?
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Okay.
While we're talking about Hogan's Heroes and everything else, before I move on, I want to say this. Those test pilots, I thought it was really cool.
You got some business you need to take care of?
I was just going to see. I was looking.
Sean's on his phone. Go ahead.
I'm looking. I was going to treat everyone with a monocle. Yeah. You I was going to buy us all monocles.
No, I don't want a monocle.
So forget it. You're definitely not getting one. So you're out.
I want a monocle.
So I was trying to help the show.
Speaking of buying,
in
Randy,
fact,
weren't
get
you
me
supposed
two.
To give me some hats? I gave you some cash for some hats.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, man.
$100.
I had a fantastic St. Louis pizza and wings dinner of that. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much.
Basically, Randy tells you to go pound sand.
Guys,
you're not getting hats.
Thanks for tuning in to Randy's last show.
Yeah, man.
Well, the problem is we lose Randy, we lose the studio. So let's try. We got to be cautious here.
Eric's going to have to move this down to his place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see where those hats are, Randy.
I didn't order them.
You ordered them.
Okay. Yeah,
you ordered them. I want to say this. The test pilots at the time, they're doing these altitude tests. They're just doing a bunch of things to figure out what can planes do for kind of no reason at the time. But as it turned out, come World War II, they realized all the benefits of those tests. Planes such as the B-17, the B-24, the B-29, the P-38, and the P-47 were so successful in carrying the war to the enemy at that high altitude. That was part of the game in World War II. So it turns out all these guys who were just kind of pushing each other and having fun and seeing what these planes could do, it came in handy in World War
II. I think
War
that's II. How innovation happens a lot of times.
Just having fun?
Yeah, having fun or just seeing, you know, in the spirit of just adventure.
Yep. Love adventure.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Speaking of adventure, back to your boy, John McCready, because he loved adventure. So he goes to Bausch & Lomb in Rochester and says, we got to come up with something so that my eyeballs don't freeze. Also, all these pilots are having a hard time with glare. What can we do? They work together and come up with the very first model. They called it the anti-glare, later known as the Aviator.
Okay.
You want to try these on, Greg?
Yeah, sure.
Show people what these things are all about. These are not the Ray-Ban Aviators. They are cheap mock-ups, but...
Do you have Ray-Ban Aviators?
No.
You don't?
I don't wear them.
I've got some of these, I think.
Some Aviators?
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
Maybe not. Maybe.
Think Top Gun.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, man.
I look like Dale Gribble. Zone.
Dale? Randy loved it.
Randy loved it. I don't know.
Yes,
do you know? Work. Is this somebody on Hogan's
Dale
Heroes?
Dale Gribble, guys. Let's go to the web.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
Mm.
Okay.
You guys are having a good time.
Oh, man, that was a top five Randy laugh.
These
right
guys
there.
Are.
Yeah. Put that in the books.
These
so.
Guys are having fun.
Dale. King of the Hill Gribble.
Oh, yeah. You do kind of look like him.
Man, are those aviators?
Johnny Hardwick passed away recently. Was the voice of Dale Gribble.
Yeah.
And Johnny was a comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, down in Texas.
Oh, yeah, you do kind of look like him. All right, Greg's got the aviators on the rest of the show. All right, so McCready and Bausch & Lomb, they come up with the anti-glare, again, later known as the Aviator. It had plastic frames, green lenses that could cut out glare without obscuring vision. This came out in 1936. The name Ray-Ban, do you know where that came from?
I'd love to know.
It's a combination of two different people.
No, it's banning rays.
Makes
right
sense.
There for us.
The rays, yep. Rays of
right
the sun.
Right there on a plate. Right there, man.
Yep.
Still pretty stupid.
Dumb. It limits ultraviolet or infrared rays of light. They were banning rays. So they're like, boom, Ray-Bans. In 1937, these went on sale to the public. The earliest commercial available of these sunglasses, green lenses for cutting out glare, a plastic frame, and the now iconic teardrop shape. So it's sort of like teardrops, but kind of sideways. They chose that to kind of mimic pilot goggles.
I mean,
okay,
and I like these, and it's cutting down on some of the glare. In the early days of this podcast, we had a real issue with glare, and Sean.
Oh, almost, did we ever?
Sean almost quit the podcast.
Wait, you guys, I was almost blind.
He had to go lay down and stare at his phone. I don't think this would stop my eyeballs from freezing, though.
I thought about that whole thing as well. I don't know.
Seems like a bit of a hole in the research, doesn't it?
I came across that a bunch, and I know that this happened. And I think he was like, well, we got to fix this in general. They have the mask on. That's all I can really come up with.
I got to be honest. I think eyeballs are going to freeze with or without these.
You're right. You're not wrong about that at all. I think the idea maybe... The goggles he had to remove, so maybe I don't know. Maybe they're less likely to freeze with those on. All I know is,
buddy, is somebody who
they were a hit
does this report very often. I know exactly where you're at, man.
Yeah,
you can't cover all your bases.
Yes, it's especially
and sometimes there's just a hole in the research.
This was particularly difficult. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but all these different articles you find so many times, they're all each other's source or vice versa.
Yeah.
And so you read things, you're like, oh, that's a mistake. And I even see where they made that mistake. It's very frustrating.
You will find a ton of mistakes. And it seems like, oh, they're just kind of, it's like a game of telephone.
And then you get a lot of people on social media who will take cute little anecdotes and make a video of that story. Like, do you know the story? And we'll get into some of that.
Yeah.
As we get into Hollywood with Ray-Bans, it's wild.
Yeah.
We're like, do you know the story about Top Gun and sunglasses? And it's like, I don't know that that's true, but you made a 90-second video that went viral. So now,
everybody
for all intents and purposes,
then it goes right.
It's completely true.
I'm just going on record saying don't go up too high with these and expect your eyeballs not to freeze,
because
I'm not feeling any warmth coming off of them.
Your eyeballs are going to freeze. In 1938, the design was updated to feature a metal frame and impact-resistant lenses, which is important. And then they rebranded it as the Ray-Ban Aviator. Due to the effective glare control, the sunglasses quickly gained popularity among outdoor enthusiasts. People were into it. Now I'm going to take you to World War II. There's a very famous picture of General Douglas MacArthur striding onto a Philippine beach. He was smoking a corncob pipe. Our set is falling apart
here.
Cheap sunglasses are...
Cheap tape, cheap sunglasses.
Just bouncing everywhere. General Douglas MacArthur, you might be able to find this thing if you put in Douglas MacArthur and aviators, Randy. And the guy, he looks like he's in an action movie. This photo went... you know, whatever the version of viral was in the 1940s. And suddenly Ray-Bans weren't just for pilots. They were for anyone who wanted to look cool. Check out this picture of old MacArthur. Boom. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Now we're talking.
So all of a sudden, boom, we're off to the races. Ray-Bans are selling like crazy. And their whole game is aviators.
Now, are they marketing just to men, or are the ladies involved too?
That's a really good question. My impression is that at that time, men.
Okay.
Not that ladies couldn't put them on, but it's hard for me to picture that in the 1940s, that happening. So they're off to the races. MacArthur, it's outdoors, they're practical. It's almost sold in some ways as like a medical product at that time, especially, you know, Bausch & Lomb being in the game. And then in 1952, a guy who worked for Bausch & Lomb, his name was Raymond Stegeman perhaps, he invented a little something called the Wayfarer. These are the ones I'm into. Grab the real Wayfarers. If you want, Sean,
sure, man.
Put on the fake ones, then try the real ones.
Absolutely.
Try that on for size. See how it feels.
All right. If you're scoring at home, we're going to go fake first. Correct?
Yep. Do it. Right. And I got to be honest, the fake ones look cool. If I see you in a picture or we're just hanging out,
I like it.
They look great.
I like it, man.
You look kind of like a blind man, though.
That's part of the...
It's all right. At least...
That's who they marketed to at the beginning, which is difficult. You can imagine. Now try some real ones on, Sean.
Tell me radio real. Advertising.
Yeah, they had to.
All right, and the real ones are where? I can't see.
Two glasses over.
Right here.
Yep, that'll work.
All right, let's see.
Let's see what that
These
looks like.
These are the real deal.
The real deal.
Ray-Ban. Yeah, it's got the logo. Yeah, I think you look cooler.
They look cooler.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they though?
Yeah, they definitely do, man.
A little cooler.
Yeah, now you kind of look like, you look like a movie star, buddy.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Hot Sean, he's back.
Hot Sean is back.
I got to be honest, though, man. I don't really, I mean, these are what, $5?
Those are maybe $1? 75 cents.
And what do these retail for, probably? $2.50?
No, I told you that earlier. It's like less than $140, maybe. Get those. Yep. And then,
they're fine.
The ones
you get that like that protects your eyes. That doesn't.
I do. Okay. I do get that.
The cheap ones are basically marketed as like party favors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's even much better imitations of that.
I'm just saying, if it wasn't like if it's solely for the protection, of course.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like they feel like honestly like the. The fake ones, like the lens is like clearer than on the Ray-Ban.
Yeah, but it's less, got nothing.
It's blocking out
protecting anything.
Yeah.
This is about protection, man. Okay. But taking care of yourself, you got to start doing it, man. You're in the hospital 3 days ago. Like,
man. Next time you could tell the nurse, she'll be like, hey, what's your name, date of birth? And then I want you to be like, I wear party favor sunglasses.
did these things start? Did cut into the sales when MacArthur lost his mind?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
I
don't know. That did not come up in my research. So in 1952, this Raymond Stegman guy who worked for Bausch & Lomb, he designed the Wayfarer. And see you later, folks. They're still around. What a boom it was. It was inspired by a mid-century classic rival to, do you know Ames chairs? I know you're a big chair guy. Ames chairs? Are you familiar with that?
I've heard that.
At all?
Yeah, Ames chairs.
E-A-M-E-S.
Yes. It was also, they kind of said it looked like Cadillac tail fins, like the cars that were popular, man. At that time in the 1950s. A design critic said the distinctive trapezoidal frame spoke a nonverbal language that hinted at unstable dangerousness. But one
That's what I'm getting here. Man.
I see what you're saying now, buddy.
Unstable.
You look like a guy who's been, coming off of a hangover, but kind of a rascal type of guy.
Interesting combination
Yeah. Keep them on. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea for you.
These new sunglasses, the Wayfarers, also featured a new plastic molding technology. I'll just shut up.
I was trying to keep you on the rails there.
No,
Greg was talking about me keeping these.
You can have them, man. They look good.
Those are mine.
Yeah,
you can.
I'm just gonna enjoy it for the show.
Just take them.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender, juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
I will also share this. The ones that Sean and I have on, I believe, are bigger ones. They make all kinds of different models of Wayfarer, and I have to get the bigger ones because I get a big head.
Oh, they're not that big.
But those are the extended ones.
I got some glasses. They're so big. They have windshield wipers attached to them, and they're battery operated.
No kidding.
Yeah, yeah. That's how big these are that I've got. Yeah, they're cool.
That is pretty big, man.
Yeah,
got them for Christmas one year.
Handy in the rain, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does Ray-Ban make those?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
Mattel,
so either.
I think.
That could be, yeah. Anyway, these things came on, and people were like, wow. It was a radical shift from the metal eyewear, like the aviators that people were used to. In the 1950s and 60s, all kinds of people started wearing them, and they got real, real popular. Now, throughout this story, I'm going to talk about different celebrities wearing them. And the fact is, it's very difficult to distinguish, especially decades later, who was actually wearing Ray-Bans and who was not.
There's off.
Kind of a double-edged sword here. They're incredibly easy to knock off, right? Yeah. We see the imitations that Sean likes. people knocking them off like crazy, but the other side of that is if somebody has this iconic cultural moment and they're not actually Ray-Bans, doesn't matter. It helps Ray-Ban. It helps Wayfarers in particular, right? Whether it's aviators or Wayfarers or some of the other models, like some of these iconic things, Breakfast at Tiffany's is a great example. Audrey Hepburn famously wore those sunglasses. They were not Ray-Bans, but Ray-Ban kind of took credit for it. And so many things you find on the internet, they're like, oh man, everybody was wearing Ray-Bans like Audrey Hepburn. Like she wasn't wearing them.
Doesn't matter.
She wasn't wearing them. Breakfast at Tiffany's, those are actually Oliver Goldsmith's Manhattan glasses. But again, you'll see a lot of people say that it was that. So James Dean, it looks like those were in fact Ray-Bans in the movie Rebel Without a Cause in 1955, just a few years after the things were invented. JFK, it looked like he was wearing real Ray-Bans.
Yeah.
It was his casual look, and they called it Hollywood's off-duty uniform. So things were booming. 50s and 60s, it was cool. You had James Dean. You had all these other people. Things were good. And then in the 1970s, things dropped off for Ray-Ban and for the Wayfarers. They dropped off big.
Why?
Nobody cared anymore.
They just got sick of it, huh?
You know, like trends, things kind of moved on. Like people just did not care. It was bad. Now they got a little bit of a boost in 1980 from a big old movie that came out.
We didn't name it
yet. Risky Business, or is that a little later?
That was a little bit later. These guys are wearing them the entire movie.
Is it Blues Brothers?
The Blues Brothers.
Yeah, okay.
I went down some rabbit holes, and I went down some very serious websites where they are dedicated to finding these iconic looks and determining exactly what kind of sunglasses there are. And there's a whole lot of debate over whether these things were Ray-Bans. Auction houses will be like, oh yeah, these are the ones Belushi wore. Some people think that Belushi and Aykroyd were wearing two different models of sunglasses, and that maybe Belushi's were Ray-Ban, but Aykroyd's were not. It's really, really interesting, but I'm not going to bore you with all of that stuff. In 1981, a year after Blues Brothers came out, they only sold 18,000 pairs of Wayfarers.
In the whole world.
It's not a lot.
Things were rough.
Getting rich off of that.
But then, and again, a lot of research. This story all sounds crazy, but in 1982, Ray-Ban went to a company called Unique Product Placement. They were based in Burbank, California. They gave them $50,000 a year. Not a lot of money, even back then, for a brand like that. $50,000 a year to place Ray-Bans in movies and television shows.
Smart.
This is one of those things where I'm reading the story, and it's sort of this exact same narrative shows up over and over. Is it true? I will tell you, this company that supposedly existed, if you look them up online, they do not exist. And really, the only online footprint you can find for them is kind of this story. It also seems strange to me that it would be a product, a company called Unique Product Placement. Regardless, as the story goes, they did this deal. And between 1982 and 1987, Ray-Ban sunglasses appeared in over 60 movies and television shows per year. This continued through 2007. Tom Cruise, a major player in this story. He wore Wayfarers in the 1983 movie Risky Business.
Yeah.
Bum, 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 bum. That scene, he does the slide.
Bobby.
In the socks. Bobby Seger. The cover of, the poster for the movie.
It's him.
Oh, yeah.
Peeking out over those things. Wayfarers went crazy. They say just a couple years later, 360,000 pairs of Wayfarers were sold. Additional appearances, The Breakfast Club. I think Judd Nelson was wearing them in The Breakfast Club. Miami Vice, Moonlighting.
Miami Vice, that's a big one.
All of a sudden, they're selling 1.5 million a year. It keeps going. Can you think of the other big Tom Cruise role that might have helped out Ray-Bans? Yeah, he actually did wear them in Rain Man.
Favorite movie.
Top Gun.
Yeah. Aviators. So Tom Cruise helping them all over the place. Yeah, and again, legend is, they were paying to do that. Now,
they get make an appearance in Walk to Remember with Mandy Moore.
You would know.
You tell us, buddy.
I can't remember.
How many times have you seen it?
Seems like a logical place to put it.
Randy, check out, I think it's called sunglassesid.com, is a place that I went that you can look up celebrities, movies, television shows, and they'll tell you exactly what sunglasses are in them. I'm willing to bet a Walk to Remember doesn't show up on that, but we'll see what happens.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. The sunglassesid.com. Yeah. There you go.
All right.
And it'll take you to movies, and you can look up a Walk to Remember.
Those look good, man. I want you to have those.
Those are my sunglasses.
Yeah. Well, whatever, buddy. I'll get you one of these hats.
Tim does have. How many pairs of these do you have? Three?
One is not really mine.
What does that mean?
They were kind of bought by mistake, so. And they don't. They're too small. They look silly on me.
Shady.
That's not shady at all.
Well, you want to make
all
a deal?
The Ray-Ban cases. Well, Sean, just buy some. Greg will buy you some.
You can have those, buddy.
I mean, Greg did toss around money last week for hats.
Yeah, I got your hats coming.
All right.
I got you. Yeah.
Are those the matte or the glossy ones?
I think these are the glossy ones. I think.
I'll tell you what they are. They're yours.
I got the mat. Yeah, they do look good on you, Sean.
I don't know. Which ones are these, man?
You're telling me those don't feel good?
No, they do, man.
Those are the glossy.
Yeah, they do.
Or you don't call them glossy.
He just goes to cheap stuff, naturally.
Yeah. You brought up Roy Orbison. All kinds of legends. The Buddy Holly, even, who had the very famous glasses. There were the sources that say those were Ray-Bans. I do not think that they were. Roy Orbison, I think, later shifted to Ray-Bans. He famously was wearing sunglasses all the time. Part of it is because he had vision issues.
Yeah, he wore them, didn't he?
Some story that he went on tour with the Beatles and he forgot his prescription glasses, so he had to wear his prescription sunglasses, and it just sort of became his thing. So,
yeah.
You know, it depends. Elvis Costello, Madonna, Michael Jackson was definitely wearing Wayfarers and aviators quite a bit.
Did we mention ones. Ray Charles? Did he have them?
That's a great question. I bet that's on that site as well.
I bet Ray probably had them.
I think his
Ray-Bans. Yeah.
His were looked like something a little bit different, but it might have been Ray-Bans. Anyway, right. This site, sunglassesid.com, it'll break down a lot of it for you. It's just a huge part of pop culture in the 80s. The Don Henley song, The Boys of Summer, from 1984, he talks about him.
What about the, yeah.
You got your hair slicked back and those Wayfarers on, baby.
Wasn't the Almost Famous, the movie poster, wasn't she wearing sunglasses?
She was wearing sunglasses. I can't say if they were Ray-Ban or not, but Randy can look that up as well. Corey Hart, Sunglasses at Night in that music video.
Yeah.
There's Wayfarers in there.
Oh, really?
And they're wearing them at night, folks.
Tim, do we know when they started putting the decal on the outside of the sunglasses?
I don't know that either.
Because I feel like that's kind of the identifier.
I don't know that either.
Did he have the sunglasses on in Never Surrender?
You never surrender. I don't know.
Great song, too.
In 1986, some numbers say that aviator sales spiked 40% when Top Gun came out.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Movie changed my life.
Pretty crazy. Is that right?
I mean, I did go into the military about a month after that thing came out.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
Not because of the movie, but it did make me feel like maybe things were going to be okay when I saw the movie.
Oh, I thought you just got into volleyball.
I did.
That's that scene.
Shirtless volleyball. That's all I did. There wasn't a lot of that at West Point. There was hardly any shirtless volleyball at West Point.
No. Not happening over there.
In jeans?
Yeah.
That, none of it.
I think that's what made that so
kept
funny.
Asking.
What a great jeans? Movie.
Just the jeans.
Yeah.
Not the most comfortable clothing to wear.
Oh, well, it's terrible.
Crushing it in the 80s. And then the 90s, a near collapse, almost went out of business.
Really?
Greg, do you want to take that?
Greg, you want to take your phone that's ringing?
My God.
Oh, yeah, no. Don't worry about me because I'm trying to buy us monocles and you're sitting there blowing up.
You weren't buying monocles.
I showed you. I was going to treat the room to monocles.
Was I right on Never Surrender, Randy?
That he was wearing them?
No, that it was Corey Hart. That's a Corey. Is that a Corey Hart
song? Right?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Beautiful song.
In the 1990s, the brand almost collapsed completely out of style. It was such a huge fad in the 1980s, both the aviators, the Wayfarers, and more. But in the 90s, they were in trouble. Oversaturation. Everybody had them. The marketing was not great. Wayfarers became dad glasses. There was nothing cool or sexy about them anymore. And they were carried in like random gas stations. You could just go buy Ray-Bans. A lot of times they were like less than $30, by the way. Sales tanked. Ray-Ban nearly died. One glimmer of hope came in 1997. A Will Smith movie came out called
Men in Black.
Men in Black. They heavily featured the Ray-Ban RB2030 Predator sunglasses. Obviously, it was a big part of it. It's what kept them from having their memories erased with that little thing. Big part of the movie. They saw a little blip. It looks to me like that was a tie-in with Ray-Ban, but the sequels, of which there have been at least three sequels.
It might be two, had my friend Sean Rouse in that movie.
Shout out, Sean Rouse.
Brief appearance.
They use different sunglass brands in those other Men in Black movies. So in the 90s, Ray-Ban is in trouble. The story gets pretty interesting
Tim,
here.
Who's the big competition?
Well, Oakley shows up and did some damage.
Bolay.
Their competition right now is just about nobody. But in the 90s, they were kind of had to look over their shoulders quite a bit to the point where Bausch & Lomb sold in 1999. This gets really, really interesting. They sold for $640 million to a company called Luxottica. Does that ring a bell with you guys at all?
Luxottica?
Luxottica.
Luxottica.
Yep.
No.
Luxottica. It is an Italian company. Okay. They own just about everything
all
to do.
All the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Like Sunglass Hut. They own all of it. Yes.
Here we go. They own. So not only are they all the big brands, from Dolce & Gabbana to Marc Jacobs to whatever, they're putting all of their, they're making all their glasses. They're designing them and just tossing their name on them. They own all that stuff. They own Ray-Ban. They own Oakley. Here's where they own Oliver Peoples. They own Persol. Here's where it gets interesting. They own Lens Crafters. They own Sunglass Hut. They own Pearle Vision. They own Target Optical. They own Glasses.com. And man, get ready for this. They also own iMed, one of the largest vision health insurance providers.
Boy, oh boy. Good luck competing against them.
It is crazy. So as it pertains to Ray-Ban, they sort of saved it. They said, hey, we're going to charge at least $100 for this thing. And gas stations aren't going to sell these things anymore.
Yep.
They noticed all kinds of things like vintage Ray-Bans were going for a whole lot of money and stars were seeking them out and wearing them. So they brought back the old, they brought back some of the old styles. They expanded. Again, you could get them for $29 at one point at drugstores and gas stations. Not anymore. Now, this Luxottica place, it is wild. Think about it. The insurance stuff, Sunglass Hut, who's selling all the sunglasses in the world. They own all of this stuff and people basically don't know. You think it's all different stuff. 60 Minutes did a piece on them about 10 years ago. And they kind of said, that's the whole idea is they're creating the illusion of competition. Like, oh, do I want Ray-Bans or do I want Oakleys or do I want, you know, Dolce & Gabbana? It's all the same thing. You walk into Sunglass Hut, they own the brand. So they're like, oh, do you want this brand? Do you want it? They own it all. Oakley was another big American sunglass brand that was they're hurting, you know, Ray-Ban for a while. As Luxottica owned all these retail outlets, they started playing games. We talk about it with Walmart where they're like, here's what we want you to do. Oakley pushed back. They're like, we're Oakley. We're going to do whatever we want. Luxottica is like, oh, is that right? The war escalated so much that Luxottica just stopped carrying Oakley, essentially putting Oakley out of business. Oakley had no choice but to sell to Luxottica.
Jeez.
It's crazy. The insurance stuff in particular feels really weird. So you go into a Lens Crafters, and they're selling you all their own stuff. It is all this company. This 60 Minutes piece is real, real interesting. I'll post it in some of the on the consumers' socials. These guys they're so Italian. And Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes is basically trying to have this gotcha moment. And everything they say is just very, very Italian. They're like, well, what about people who think it's an American brand? And he's like, it is an American brand owned by Italians. and they're like, she takes this, some imitation sunglasses and she's like, I mean, come on, it's so similar. And he's like, it is similar, but it is not the same. Like these very smooth Italian
I'll tell
answers.
You what, dude, that's better than Venezuelan Tim right there.
Italian Tim? Luxottica Tim?
Venezuelan Tim's real good.
I don't know, man. He just put up a strong fight there.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So, you know, what they do is kind of crazy. Any sunglasses that I'm going to say this, and I think this is a true statement. Any sunglasses you're going to buy over $50 are probably owned by Luxottica.
Yeah.
If you want anything that isn't, you know, relatively cheap. Now you've got like Warby Parker and different kind of online brands doing stuff, but they won't sell them. So how can anybody compete? It's pretty wild. I think Walmart and Costco are their biggest competitors.
I use a company called Shady Rays. We got to look into that one. They're pretty big on the internet.
Is that Luxottica? Is that Luxottica?
Luxottica.
Shady Rays. Are they affiliated with Luxottica?
Have you heard of Shady Rays? They've been around.
I bet that's independent. I have heard of that.
Yeah. They're good, man. It's like you get a couple pairs. It's like $60. It's not like garbage, but it's not going to be.
Probably garbage.
Used to do.
I'm telling you, they do a nice job.
I mean, they look good, but I bet you're not getting eye protection, man.
I used to do open mics with a guy named Shady Ray.
Shady Ray? Yeah, he's a couple gigs there for you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did you get paid on those?
No. End of the show, Greg. You're not going to believe this. I don't know if I ever told you this story. Yeah. I walk off stage. Yeah. He's nowhere to be found.
Gone. You guys seen Ray?
I'm texting him, and he's like, it's in the mail. Oh, all this stuff.
No, I got you. I got a lot of gigs for you.
Unbelievable. He did always wear sunglasses, though.
You guys seen Ray? Who's going to get paid? Nah, he took off. He said, give him a call.
Yeah.
Greg, you ever get stiffed on a gig in your lifetime?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's make it sure.
Ever?
I don't know, man. Maybe one or two, but not much. I did show up the day the Green Bay Funny Bone closed. Went to went to the club for the first night of the week, and there was chains.
No.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of you getting stiffed, I've heard this before, and you can tell me if this is true or not. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that
spot him.
If there's ever talk of a club owner, a manager, withholding funds, as they'll do, you know, sometimes you put on your Mizzou letter jacket as you approach the office. Is that true? To just sort of send a message.
He's doing a bit.
I've heard that.
He's doing a bit.
Sean, have you heard that?
I mean, I have heard speculation, but I don't want to put that out there until I get confirmation, which is what we're waiting on.
You put on the letter jacket and just let him know.
Call the flex.
You'll take
Greg.
Your money.
It's a flex.
Got any more stuff on?
I know this look with the aviators. It makes it even funnier. That's great. Anyway, so they come in, and again, it feels a little bit weird what they're doing. The markup on, I mean, the markup on sunglasses is bananas. I'll say it again. You could get them for $29. They come in. You're not buying Ray-Bans for less than 100. And people just think, oh, sunglasses are expensive, and it's all because of this one company. Like,
really?
They don't have to be. It just is the way that.
So you're saying a quality
affected the market?
A quality like protect your eyes sunglasses doesn't have to be $100.
Not at all.
Okay,
but because they own the whole market and all, you know, that's what they're doing. But I think there are companies who are trying to make progress saying, hey, it'll protect your eyes. They're well-made, all this stuff, but you got to buy them online. And
Randy, do we find out if Shady Ray is owned
by
Luxottica?
Yeah, we got to get to the bottom of this.
I'll bet it's not.
Yeah.
Shady Rays.
So they did save the brand. It is a cool. Their biggest models, the Wayfarer, the Aviator, and the Clubmaster. Those are the big three. Clubmaster, sort of, if you think about like Revenge of the Nerds, kind of it's all glass, and then sort of the brow line, if you will.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about those.
Ray-Bans are the best-selling sunglass line in the entire world. They have other lines called the Erica, the Justin, the Jackie O, and more, but the big three carry the brand. Associated with so many musicians, again, we talked about the television shows and the movies. In the last few years, they hired A$AP Rocky. Do you guys know A$AP Rocky?
Sure.
He's a rapper. He's a big, he's a big deal and very involved in the fashion world. He is the brand's first ever creative director, so he's involved in a lot of the advertising and stuff now. Mm. And then the other big news out of Ray-Ban, and I'm going to hand it over to my partner, Sean O'Brien, they launched these Meta glasses. They teamed up with Meta. Meta, of course, is the company, Facebook, Instagram, all that. And these smart glasses, we've seen a lot of companies try and fail over the last few years. The Google Glass came out and the people kind of said, no thanks. But these things, they're going strong. And what's the deal, Sean? They've got cameras. They've got speakers.
Yeah, I mean, they take hands-free photos and videos. The big one's the video. You can be recording like Facebook Live while wearing them. Or you could save it as well. But I mean, it's a pretty good. People got a little upset though, because people were like, wait, I don't want to be recorded. So now what they put on is there's a little light to let you know that you're being recorded. So if you ever see anybody with a pair of glasses that look pretty conspicuous and you see a little glow, that's recording you.
Yeah. There goes Greg. Greg's recording Sean right now.
That's a hat on a hat, right?
It's also weird because we have so much trouble already where everyone's convinced, and I think rightfully so, that their phone is listening to them. You have a conversation with a friend about a certain product, and then you get an ad. Well, all of a sudden, everybody's walking around with video cameras on their glasses. And the light's not on, or I didn't hit the button, but like it's got the capability right there. It's crazy.
Do you think the phone is listening, or is it because you typed in like one word on Google and now it pops in on Facebook?
That for sure, but the latter is true. And I know this from being on the radio so much. We talk about something that is just not a part of my life, but it was a topic that day, and then I'd be getting ads for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You know how we'll test it? I think the Shady Rays, that'll do it. If that comes up today...
By the way, Shady Rays doesn't look like it's owned by Luxottica.
Okay, Shady Rays, so there's another guy. They do have
affordable stuff. So affordable, Sean will leave several pairs of them in your car for long periods of time.
No way. Do I have some right now?
I think I threw them out.
Well, he gave you these, so.
Nah, you can have them.
Tim won't give me these.
But some of the Meta glasses I saw.
I appreciate them.
Some of the Meta glasses I saw have... you know, like if you're listening to music, it'll put that up on your glasses so that you see it, the album cover or whatever it is, or even like a text message. You can read a text message right on the screen there. I'd like to try it.
Yeah, it looks interesting, man. I mean, I guess. Oh,
sorry, never mind. That was Shady Rays. Sorry, it's something else. You know, the main thing, from what I read, that people like it, that you can kind of sneak around and film stuff that you're not supposed to film. Yeah.
Seems a little...
The main thing. Yeah. The main thing.
I don't know. I'm not saying the main. All right.
Those should be called Shady Rays. I'm saying...
That's right.
With the camera.
Also, Tim, man, good job, like, man.
Do you want to be doing your show and then you see a guy out in the audience in sunglasses? You're like, oh, he's recording this.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then you get a big altercation. You find out it's just a blind man and, you know, you're a jerk.
Yeah. And I encourage my fans to wear sunglasses to my show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which makes me feel like I have a cool audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Do you really?
No. Oh. I don't have fans.
Yeah, you do. I thought you were talking about Ludo.
No.
He just doesn't get what we're doing a bit, does he?
Yeah, no, that's okay. Yeah. I make him wear aviator so I can look at myself the whole time. It's fun. So that's Ray-Ban. Again, biggest selling line in the whole world. They continue to show up in, you know, with celebrities, musicians, all that. Like they rescued it. They made it cool.
Yeah.
And they're making a ton of money off of them. And I'm certainly a sucker for it. But it's Ray-Bans, folks. An American company owned by Italians.
Owned by Italians.
I think you look good in them too, man. Yeah, it's definitely your look.
Thanks, buddy.
I want you to have those.
Randy liked it. Randy liked it.
Well, Tim looks like Chris Pine. That's what everyone says. So yeah. He's already built in.
It's a good look.
And I get Kevin James.
Yeah,
you know, Hollywood heartthrob Kevin James.
Nothing wrong with
Kevin
James.
Kevin James is great.
He is great.
Let me just clear this up right now. This podcast is not about taking shots at Kevin James.
I am.
No.
That's a different side. Yeah, somebody else can do that. But we're not getting on the wrong side of Kevin James. Kevin, if you're listening, man, we love you. Sean's a jerk.
I'm a good person, man. I do occasionally go to the ER, though.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, man. You got to start taking care of yourself.
I know.
You want to do some comments?
We're sick of it.
Going to do, man. Do some comments, Tim. Yeah. See what people are
calling in about, man.
What are they talking about?
Got a lot of comments from the Greg Garcia episode. I'm not going to read everything saying how much people loved Greg Garcia, but loved Greg Garcia.
Oh, they loved him.
They loved him on the pod on the TGIF episode. They loved him at the Greg Warren hometown Westport Funny Bone shows. Just a lot of Greg Garcia fans out there. In fact, Turumbar 25 said that is hands down the funniest first 15 minutes of any podcast ever. And the hits just kept on coming after that. I have a headache from how much I've been laughing. If you haven't seen it, watch the Greg Garcia episode.
I mean, it may be my favorite clip that we've put out of him just
hitting you,
roasting me hard.
Yeah, it's great.
It was, I mean, Nikki Glaser style, do you say, what do you get the guy that has everything because of Nate Bargatze?
Yeah. And boy, is that true.
Yeah.
It's good. A lot of people defending you in the comments.
I'm kidding. Great. Look what he got me, guys. For the audio listeners, he came through with the silly hat.
That came from you mispronouncing Adidas.
Yeah. Yeah, I said it wrong.
Which is gets me angry as I sit here right now.
Oh, Tim gets so mad.
Oh, he can't take it.
Tim cannot stand. You better not have any grammatical errors around Tim. He'll lose his
mind. What kind of errors?
Grammatical.
Grammatical.
Grammatical errors.
Yeah, but you said.
There you go. I think you said something else earlier.
I probably did, man.
Grammatical.
Going on 90 minutes sleep. Plowing through.
That's healthy.
Grammatical.
C. Bailey, 4322, said, I love Greg Garcia and was so hyped when y'all announced he would be on the podcast. He's so witty, down to earth, interesting, and intelligent. I cannot wait for his return.
Yeah, he was awesome.
That'd be great.
Did a good job on the shows too, man.
Pardon me?
Killed it.
Oh, live. Yes, yeah, for really. Sure.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, he's funny.
Old Look a Dog says, I took my little friend to the Sunday Kids show, Greg's weekend, for her birthday, and she loved it. You asked her what her favorite peanut butter is, and she says, Aldi's. I'd love to know where it ranks on the Warren scoring system in relation to other vastly inferior peanut butters.
It does not rank.
Not interested?
Aldi?
Yeah.
Come on.
You tried it?
Don't care for store brand. Don't care for what they're about.
Yeah, it's no Jif. It's better than, it is, in her defense, it's better than a lot of the bad ones. But
I'll tell you what, Aldi's for what you pay, not bad.
Oh, yeah. Sean loves Aldi. He also loves these sunglasses. Yeah, no, they're better than the regular thing.
Yeah.
That'll tell you all you need to know about him.
Austin Adams said, silly question that I missed somehow. Where do you send birthday info for Sean?
Oh, it's at,
like we said,
theconsumers390@gmail.com.
Gmail.
Groucho T said, breaking news from the Nateland pod. Aaron Weber worked at a country club. Might need to get him in here to discuss Tim's qualifications.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hmm.
I worked at a country club for a day. That's part of my aversion to country clubs.
Got it.
Story for another time.
But I think that's a story when you called your dad and said you're never going to do anything that you don't want to do for a job or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I caddied for one day. It was miserable. Had a real jerk that I was carrying his clubs. This guy was just the worst.
Ugh,
really?
Yeah, and I wanted nothing to do with this guy, and it just turned me off to all things golf and country club and everything else. He was just that sort of textbook when you think of a golf jerk. It was this guy.
Yeah.
He was awful. And, I was a little kid, and I was like, no thanks. And then my parents are like, well, you have to get a job this summer. I was young, and then I worked at a Mexican restaurant for the rest of the summer. Did not like it. And I was like, hey, I'm done with this. I'm never for the rest of my life going to do a job that I don't love. And people were like, we'll see. And then the next summer I started working at TKO DJs.
Yeah,
that's right, man.
And was DJing parties and stuff when I was 15, 16, and changed my life. And
off, look back.
Off to the races since then. And now I'm on the consumer. So things are going all right.
Pretty good.
Golf guy. But that's, I think, why I have such an aversion to the country club.
Yeah, the caddy thing's tough, you know, because
it's going to make it all that much harder when Emma signs up. And from what I can tell, it's in the works.
I've also realized that not all golf country club people are like that guy.
Right.
For sure. But that guy put a bad taste in my mouth early on.
Bushwood.
This guy, that's what he was.
Are you supposed to pick out the clubs, like be like, all right, hey, this is a 7-iron approach coming in as a caddy, or are you just really just carrying them?
No, I think ideally, I mean, it depends on a ton of stuff, but I think a good caddy is somebody you would consult with on what club you should use for certain shots. Certainly if you're traveling to a course you've never been and you get like a caddy who knows that course, they're like, I would go with a driver or
whatever. Yeah, 'cause I think isn't that what happened with Tiger Woods and that caddy he was like BFFs with? And then it kind of parted ways.
Duff, or
I can't think of the guy's name, but I don't know. I read something like he like gave him a bad wreck.
Mm. Oh, really?
I don't know if that's true.
Well, Tim, he was asking the guy in his backswing which punk rock band he thought was the coolest.
Tim, is that true?
Yeah. While he's swinging,
not true at all. I did a great job. It's my first time doing it.
Kid, would you shut up?
Such a jerk.
Did he tip you?
Like a few bucks, like minimum.
Really?
I was crying. I was young. I was crying. It was awful.
Oh, man.
So awful. But
I'd like to meet that guy.
He created a monster. And I've since encountered him in adulthood. And
really?
Yeah, I don't need to tell that story, but felt
really
good. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's not doing so well?
Well, I don't care for him. Small town.
I don't either. I don't like the guy.
Yeah, I don't like the guy. A.A. Schmidt said, Sean, that hooded sweatshirt looks incredible. $12.
Oh, that's
appreciate
Myrtle
that.
Beach one.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep, I had to chew them up, spit them out.
There you go.
Everyone wins there. Thank you for that comment.
Here it is. Sharon Lloyd, I6Y, said, I had a bad dream that the reason Greg missed the Old Spice podcast was because he got married. Whew. There's still time to admire his baby blues on the Nateland cruise.
Yeah, buddy. All right.
Not if he's doing the aviators.
Yeah, that's true,
not if
man.
I'm going Dale Gribble.
Yeah, if you're going Gribble.
Yeah.
Little baby blues.
All joking aside, we should get you some of those by the cruise.
Sean?
Yeah.
He's got some. No, buddy, you can have those.
I mean, look, Tim, this is between you and him. I'm just here to have a nice time and enjoy the show.
Okay. Robert Barlow, 7680, said, has Greg ever met a stand-up comedian who wasn't a great guy, very funny, and pick one or more, tremendous, terrific, or extraordinary? He does this whenever someone mentions a stand-up that he knows, very similar to his descriptions of certain women, if you know what I mean.
I never read this!
Oh, yeah, man. No, I'll say that. I mean, if I'm going to talk about a stand-up comic, I'm going to say something positive.
Yeah.
And if I don't care for a stand-up comic, and there are some that I don't care for,
I'm
going to not talk about them. Yeah, I mean, I will abstain or like, but it's my mom used to review books for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Yeah.
And she told me I just never review a book that I don't like.
Right.
Because it's like, there's so much negativity out there anyways. It's so hard to get people to read. So why right. am I going to go out there and trash a book?
No.
So what am I going to go on this podcast right. and be like, that guy's terrible.
Right.
You know, like I don't ever want to do it. I will say, and I know he's joking around or whatever, and it's kind of funny, but like if I do say something, it's sincere.
Yeah.
You know, like I really do mean, and I do say that about, I love comics. I know more comics than a lot of people. And I, you know, I'm friends with a lot, but yeah. I know why they're good. And if you ever want to do, you know, email me
yeah.
or make a comment and be like, why did you say this guy was awesome? And be like, yeah. I'll break it down for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is why this guy is that good.
You would not speak negatively of a comic. Hey, you know who I talked to the other day is,
don't start
Dustin Nickerson.
He's a great comedian. He's a great comedian. He's funny. He's original. He's got good stage presence. He knows how to deliver a joke. Guy comes into this podcast. He's got no substance. No substance. And he uses, that's what was so disappointing. He's a lot of cheap tactics. He comes in, he's roasting me, he's doing, hey, coming out of here, you know, he's a lot of that stuff.
He,
so that's you know, I never said one negative thing about that guy's stand-up comedy. As a podcast
As a
guest,
human being,
yeah. he's fine. I mean, he'll spill coffee in your house, but as a podcast guest, he's lazy, and he's also no substance, man. Now, Woodhull, he comes in with the goods.
That guy brings you know? Heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, we love Dustin. He thought I was going to throw out somebody he doesn't like. He got a little nervous.
Yeah, he got a little nervous. You see him? He panicked.
I set you up.
He knows some of the people that I don't like.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to be like, and I'm going to be like, all right, cut. We have to. Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
No,
I wasn't.
That would have been your first cut ever, Tim.
Yeah.
I think I've had seven.
You've had a few.
Yeah, Sean.
The best.
Yeah, Sean
is. Who are my over-under cuts,
man, if we ever can get those, which we can't, but if we ever put those out.
That'd be amazing, though, man.
Yeah.
All right, a couple more. We're running out of time.
I don't know if the cameras were running that day. Eric was subbing for Randy a couple times ago. That would have that'd be some good footage.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Dim in the middle.
I try not to think about that.
Yeah.
Nikki Whitley said, don't mind me tripping over myself while running to the Funny Bone website to score a ticket to the Consumers Live taping.
All right, Nikki.
I'll be loading up on all the Consumers snacks for my road trip to St. Louis from the Peoria area. Merry Christmas.
Don't load
to
up
me.
Too much.
Yeah, because we'll have stuff for
we'll
you.
We'll have stuff
yeah,
for
we
you.
Will.
We may need you.
StLouisFunnyBone.com. And finally, Bobby Johnson, 6410, said, hey, how about a Consumers sitcom? Garrett Dillahunt as Greg, Chris Pine as Tim, Kevin James as Sean, and then someone super famous and over the top to play Randy. But you only see him in the final episode of the season.
Yeah. I like that.
I like the concept.
Pretty good.
Who could play Randy, though?
Pretty good. Anyway, thank you, guys. Keep your comments coming. We appreciate it. Let's do some plugs, eh?
Yeah, let's
hey, roll forward plugs. I got.
Oh,
plug.
Yeah,
I got
sure, Shawnee. I'm sorry.
First things first, I want to make sure see, you guys listened last week. Kim, you got your Otis shirt. Oh, didn't mean to hit your brain. And there's a hat for you.
Yeah, great. That's not the one I wanted, though.
Well, that's what you get, all right? You're not going to that's not the hat I want. It's a great
guys,
hat.
Guys, come on out to the Consumers Podcast because we're going to be having an Otis hat that I'm giving away.
And I also, guys, got you this.
What's that? Otis pens.
Oh, that I'm excited about.
Come on, man.
What is this?
An athletic
for bicycling?
Are you
kidding
me?
Yeah, it looks like it looks
that
like
that thing is amazing. You're gonna trash these guys after all the favors they've done for us?
I can't wear this color. I'm not trashing Otis. The problem is we specifically asked.
We asked you for one hat and you said you'd get it.
It doesn't work that way, guys.
Well then
I just call up and just be like, I want this, not that,
yes,
not that.
Yes.
You get it's I'm really disappointed.
Yeah, so are we. Imagine how disappointed we are.
Stuff. Yeah. Great lengths.
You didn't go to great lengths.
Yes, I did. Erica, my girl, she's the one who's making this hat. Now I got to tell her that Greg did not care for his hat. He wants a new one.
There was a specific hat. Randy, you got an ETA on that hat?
I ordered them. I've got the. I got another confirmation today. I think it's a slow process. Well, I didn't get an ETA yet. I'll look up in a minute and see if I got a. Like a UPS thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm taking
that.
Then
I'll give us away. We'll raffle us off. Somebody will want to notice hat.
Yeah, give that away on Sunday.
Tim, you don't want your neon shirt?
No, sorry, buddy.
I don't want that, man.
It's for
God, that's so
bicycling.
Sad, dude. That thing is so cool.
I can't. I can't wear that color.
Hold on, let me see it, dude. It's got Lance Armstrong's autograph on it.
That was a surprise, man.
I can't wear that color.
Yeah. All right, man. Well.
Consumers Live, stlouisfunnybone.com. Come see us. The first time we're ever doing it live. Come check it out. Greg and Sean will be in Bloomington, Indiana at the Comedy Attic November 28th through 29th. Greg and myself will be at the Columbus Funny Bone December 5th through 7th. Greg and Sean will be at the Cincinnati Funny Bone December 18th through 21st. Greg, Sean, and maybe
I think we
me.
Added some days on there.
Oh, Cincinnati?
Yeah, since
he's moving,
we got a
man.
Lot going there, man. Thursday through Sunday now with multiple shows.
Check local listings. Comedy Club of Kansas City, Greg, Sean, maybe a little bit of me. That is December 26th through the 31st. That's right, New Year's Eve. Still a few tickets available?
We have sold out 14 shows. We just opened up 14? The 15th and final show. It is a matinee show on that Sunday, I believe the 28th. That's the only show that we have tickets available for. Just open that up.
Amazing. So yeah, get involved there. And then lots of shows in 26. Yeah. Check out gregwarrencomedy.com. I'm talking about Salt Lake. I'm talking about Dallas, Cleveland, Chicago, all on sale and a whole lot more. Again, gregwarrencomedy.com. My stuff, timconveystuff.com, where you can also get tickets to see Punk Rock Christmas, December 13th at the Pageant in St. Louis. Bigger and better than ever. Check that out. That's all I got.
Nice job, Tim.
I got a couple
today.
Closing things. Yeah, sure, great man. Job. That was a bang-up job on that info, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. Happy to be here.
So some stuff got said. I just want to mention a couple names. Brian Subbert made us these. He is an art teacher at a special ed school in Central Florida.
Nice.
And they design and produce name tags for local businesses. So Randy, Greg, Tim, me, we got a name tag.
He just handed me
Did you the wrong one?
The name tag for Sean O'Brien.
Oh, sorry, buddy. There you go. I got the glasses on. Can't see.
These are awesome.
Those are awesome. So, Brian, thanks for that. And then I got a Bill's keychain from Roxanne Roberts.
Oh, that's great.
Barb Eakin.
Looks pretty. That's looks very pretty sweet of you guys. Nice one, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know where this is going.
These name
tags
are
great. I'm excited about that. And our buddy, Tim May. He's a proud member.
What did he get you? Chip clip?
He got a Buffalo Bills. Chip clip. Do you understand me? I'm like a kid on Christmas with anything Bills related. I love it. I'm grateful for you. Thanks, buddy. And then just to close, we got a couple birthdays. Nothing too crazy. Okay. Just two. Stephanie Knupp, if you're listening, have a great day.
What's her name?
Stephanie Knupp.
Oh, okay.
K-N-U-P-P. So I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
And my brother, Chip O'Brien,
Chip!
Told me not to say a word.
When's Chip's birthday?
I'm ratting him out. November 25th. All the boys are the 25th. I'm April 25th. My other brother's March 25th.
Chris is his name.
Yeah, Chris. And then November 25th. And then my mom's fun thing is she's like, and your sister was born on the 27th. That's why we knew she was a girl.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Real clever, mom.
Now he's taking a shot at his mom.
Yeah, love my mom. She was going to rename the show The Complainers.
Yeah, she's a really nice lady. She is. Nice job, Tim. Outstanding work. Hey,
nice
man.
Job. Nice job to you guys.
Thanks for the glasses, too.
Takes a village.
Sean, those are yours, buddy. We are the consumers. You have the right to charge your phone.
Go, Bills.